Good evening to you. Quarter past six. Well, a number of our biggest companies have reported their financial yearly losses to shareholders over the last fortnight. The largest losses came from the likes of Orion Health, also Xero, and Pushpay. Brian Gaynor from Milford Asset Management is with me now. Brian, what did investors think of these losses? And, you know, did they immediately sell their shares?
No, this is one of the most fascinating aspects of the share market. Losses don't really matter. People look towards the future and try to assess whether the losses will get smaller or get bigger. So, I mean, companies will invest in a company like Xero for quite a long period of time because the view is a company like that has got some very good long-term opportunities, but they will suffer losses in the short term. They do, however, look at companies that may have been had losses for a number of years, and they don't seem to be making much progress. And finally, they capitulate and sell those shares. So it's not taken for granted that people sell shares in companies that report losses.
How do investors value loss-making companies then?
This is a very interesting one, is to work out, you know, how do you value them? Normally, it's a multiple of earnings, of revenue. But really, in the end, it's about the long-term future of the company. I mean, if you look at some of the great companies around the world, whether it be Apple or Google or Amazon, they've all reported big losses at some stage or another. But investors see through that. They think 3 or 4 years hence and think, do they have a business model that's going to work? And if it's going to work, how successful it will be. And that's why I guess Xero is the one company that has got a very high share market value, even though it continues to report losses year after year. Investors in general think Xero has real good global prospects.
Right. And is that why, you know, they keep buying shares in loss-making companies that, you know, don't pay a dividend?
Yeah, they look to the future and they just think that this is a company. Yes, they accept the fact that in the short term, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years, they're going to report losses. But in the long term, they've got a business model that will really work. And Amazon, I guess, .com is a classic example for that. It has made huge amount of losses now, but now it's probably one of the most valuable listed companies in the world.
Indeed. All right, let's talk about the NZX, and in particular the NZX board, Brian, because Tony Falkenstein is standing for this. What's unusual about that?
It's very, very unusual that someone like him, who is a very successful businessman, who's on the rich list, who runs his own company listed on the share market, makes a stand to stand on any board of a listed company. Normally, you have outsiders, people who are not part of the business community who make stands because they're unhappy. So this is very unusual. In fact, I can't think of any other time when a chief executive of a listed company has stood against the wishes probably of the board of another company and stood to be a director. So this is a very, very unusual circumstance.
Will he be elected, do you think?
That's going to be a very interesting one. I think he'll get a lot of support from retail investors, and I think that he will get some support from institutional investors. But institutional investors tend to be a bit conservative. There's no doubt that there's an increasing view that the stock exchange needs a real shake-up, and that Tony is somebody who could help to contribute to that. But in the end, I think the big investors tend to be a bit conservative. So watch this very carefully. The annual meeting is in Wellington on the 30th of June, and I think it's 50-50 at this stage. I wouldn't make a call whether he's going to be successful or not.
Brian Gaynor from Milford Asset Management. Thank you in a moment. Patrick Smalley from Business